My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely place, I rest from his unchanging grace. If every tide and stormy gale my anchor holds within the veil, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Let his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, obey your hand in deep hand. Rest in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Thank you. Sometimes our young people have songs in the songbook. They utilize it to count, and we do it, they take Bible school too. And one is the song 185. If you're not marking, but if you turn there at 185, you'll have the words in front of you that we emphasize. He is my everything. He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. He gave his life for me, made everything new. He is my everything. Now how about you? Some folks may ask me, some folks may say, who is this Jesus you talk about every day? He is my Savior. He set me free. So listen as I tell you what he means to me. He is my everything. He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. He gave his life for me, made everything new. He is my everything. Now how about you? Of course, the next verse asks a question in regard to that. We emphasize that to our young people as they sing that song. Is he really your everything? Is he your everything until you have that boyfriend that calls you away from the ways of the Lord and the ways that he has taught us, and thus you follow that way? Is he your everything when your job maybe calls upon you to misrepresent the facts about what you're trying to sell or what you're trying to do, and as a result of that, you're not following him being your everything? Is he your everything when it comes to the worship of God, making plans to do that because of the idea of those who hear this on the internet today? Perhaps the fact is that today in the worship of God, he's not my everything. I had some other plans to carry out. I wanted to pair those things out because I like them and I serve them and they serve me. And as a result, I'm not doing anything for you today. I'm doing for me. Well, the idea of loving the Lord is a special, special treat and a special way. And today in this series of studies I've been doing about our lives and our love of truth and our resistance of error and so forth, I've talked about these particular matters. I want to talk about the very heart of the matter with you and me as to how we come about the love of God. In Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He goes on to talk about a variety of other things, sitting and standing and so forth. But then he says in verse 2 the following about our lives. He says in Psalm 1 at verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. When you find an individual who loves God enough that they meditate upon the word of God in their daily walk of life, they make decisions on the basis of what the scripture tells us about being honest and being compassionate to others and being helpful to others in their needs in life. Being looking out ahead and seeing dangers up ahead and guarding oneself from a time of temptation and trial, like the wise man said there in Proverbs 27 at 12. The wise man foreseeth danger up ahead and guards himself. He hides himself. That's what it means of the cleft in the rock. When we sing the songs about the cleft in the rock, and Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Meaning that cleft, that is an opening place. It's a hollowed out place in the rock, in the which the rocks forbid that waters come in. They pass by. We are safe and secure in the cleft of the rock. And so it is that in the cleft of God's work, we find ourselves doing His will, being His person. That's what the Lord has told us to do. And when we find ourselves delighting in the law of the Lord, we don't see the Bible, the Word of God, as an old book and a dead letter for us. We see it as a vibrant issue telling us of the love of God for us and a desire for us to walk the way that He has told us so that we will see the joy and the gladness of life as we live from day to day. What we see otherwise are the joys and gladness of those things that cause feelings to exist. And we find ourselves in the feelings of life, and that's the way that we live. Some people live enough in their feelings that they'll go to those places that have the feelings to be extended. Thus the drinks will be served and the time of consumption will be done. And now then, I'm doing those things of drunkenness rather than sobriety. I'm doing those things against the rules of God rather than those things for the rules of God. Because I've gone off in the sense of looking for those things that will give me a joyful pleasure in life. If we follow that way and that will, we're following our own will. But if we delight in the law of the Lord and in His law meditate day and night, we'll be the blessed man that He said in verse 1 of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that doesn't stand in the counsel of the ungodly. Let's be people who walk in the ways of God in His right ways. Today, as we talk about the love that we have for God, we need first to mention we know that God loves us. We know from a verse that we may say, instead of saying it with thought in mind, we may just say the words that are there, not really meaning them. But in John 3 at verse 16, it does tell us a beautiful teaching. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But we miss the real point if we don't read on verse 17. John 3, verses 16 and 17 go together. Because verse 17 says, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might have life. Jesus didn't come to say, I caught you and I got you and there's no hope for you. Jesus didn't come to criticize and just be a critic of the ways that people were doing things. He came to offer us a way of life. And in John 10 and at 10 when He said the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost,
He came to seek and save. He came to give hope for life to individuals. And it's because of the love of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The book of Hebrews chapter 10 describes to us that scene up in heaven itself. The word above is used. And in all the modern translations of the book of Hebrews chapter 10, even in the New World version of the translation and the new text of it, it tells us that above when He saith, it was above when this was said. It was above. It was in heaven, it said. The Father and the Son were speaking about this great plan. And in this plan, Jesus is saying to the Father, I will go as it is written of me in the book, and I will do thy will, O God. Jesus was willing to come and to do His will in carrying out the plan of redemption. The story told about the Father and the Son and their conversation was not an opposition to one another. Jesus did not reluctantly follow the Father's plan and come to earth. He willingly, it is said, as it is written of me in the volume of the book, that Old Testament book of God, given by the prophets, predicting of the coming of the Son of God, predicting of His death in Isaiah 53, and in reference to our lives, how we live before God. It's written in the volume of the book. It's the summation of everything written there, of Genesis to Malachi. Jesus would come and offer Himself, a body thou hast made for me for suffering, He says there in Hebrews 10. Thus we find that God does love us. He cares about us in a wonderful way and wants us to live for Him from day to day. Let's talk about the ways that we come back and love God. In Psalm 33 and in verse number 5, it is said that He loveth righteousness and judgment. And the earth is full of the goodness of God. The earth is full of the goodness of God. In Psalm 33 and at verse 5, it is a note statement for us. And we look around and we say, you know, when we talk about God, Hebrews 3 tells us every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. We have that idea to tell people and to show people that God's way is the right way. It's a good way. And when we find ourselves doing that, we find ourselves recognizing God made these things that we use to make our houses. Every house is built by some man, but He that built all things is God. When we talk about the ways of God, we're talking about an earth that He created. And an earth that is described there in Psalm 33:5 is full of the goodness of God. God being good to us and making the harvest available through our gardens or through our crops and fields, through the animals that we harvest, through the ways that we have as people in life from day to day. As He's guided us toward a way that we're to love a woman and love her deeply and ask her to be with us for the rest of our natural lives together. It's a wonderful thing. It's a goodness that's a part of God's work in the world. And that's the teaching of God's way. A little bit later in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 34 and at verse number 8, it is said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Oh, taste and see. When we taste of things and we think that it's good, it's not just good because the right amount of fats have been put to it or the right herbs have been put in the mixture and everything. That's a part of it, but it's a part of it to be compassionate to it and thoughtful to it. It builds it up, and it's a wonderful thing, and it's a wonderful treat. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. When we find our lives following that right way, we'll be blessed, because He goes on to say in that passage of Psalm 34 and verse 8, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." When we find ourselves trusting in God and in His right way, We'll find it because we effectually have a love for the things we taste and the things that we see. When we find ourselves in life having that way, in Psalm 22 at verse 23, "Ye that fear in the earth, praise the Lord." We'll find a way in which we want to sow our gratitude for Him. When the church is called together, and the church of the revealed in the New Testament, the house of God, and Isaiah chapter 2, reference is made to this house of God being built, exalted above the hills, and all nations would flow unto it. He will teach us His ways, and we will walk in His paths, they're saying to one another. They come to the house of God, described in 1 Timothy 3:15, the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. There's another good thing about it. You can be sure that in the house of God, the church of the living God, truth is being taught. You can be sure this morning that the things being preached to you, you can open your Bible and see. You can read those things. You can know the teaching of God. That's the way that it should be done. And as we do that, we'll find ourselves trusting in the Lord, and we'll find ourselves praising the Lord because of it. In life, as we go forth, what will it be tomorrow? Well, Dr. Field of television fame, the famed psychiatrist or psychologist, notes that the best predictor of future activities in life are based on what we have done already in our walk of life. Dr. Field says, if you want to predict how that behavior of that person will be to you in this marriage tomorrow, it's what the marriage was facing yesterday. Past behavior is the best predictor of future activities. If that's the case in life for you and me as Christians, we find ourselves following the way of the Lord and loving Him because we have begun to love Him. Somewhere along the way we recognize we love Him, as John would say, because He first loved us and gave Himself for us. When we find that love for God like that, we'll be people who are growing in the right ways of God. Our Lord Jesus, when He came to earth and did the work that He did and the teaching that He did, came to pray before the Heavenly Father before His time of crucifixion in John 17 and at verse 4. Jesus said, "I have glorified Thee on the earth and have done what Thou hast sent Me to do." What did Jesus do? "Well, Father, I have glorified Thee on the earth, and I talked about Thee, and I talked about Thy way, and I didn't get around to doing what You said to do. To the contrary," Jesus said, "I have done what Thou hast sent Me to do." If we love Him like that and love His right way, we'll be people who follow the right things of God. We'll be people who honor the right ways of the Lord. We will glorify Him. The psalmist declares for you and me that as we find ourselves glorifying God, and in the book of Exodus it's very clearly noted that the people would not stand. They could not find themselves to stand up for the cloud that was above them. That they were finding the glory of God in the cloud. The presence of God brings a glory. I've identified that particular thing under those words of identification and defined it as casting light upon. There's such a brilliant light cast upon God because of His love and because of His right things. There's such a brilliant light that is cast upon God. We glorify Him. He's glorified in His presence, in our presence. Can we be glorified in that way as well? In Ephesians chapter 3, the last couple of verses. "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, through the power that worketh within us, to Him be glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end. Where is that glory to be shared with the Lord? We know that it's going to be shared, our daily walk of life, of course. But until we get the strength of being encouraged at the assembly, and the fact that we're encouraged to show our love for God in a righteous kind of way, it's not one of those ways that goes out there and gripes and fusses and complains because no one pays attention. Believe you me, they are paying attention. They look at your life and mine as we walk among them. As we walk among them and we live in such a way that we're not using profanity as we make a point. We're not seeing a way of life of evil and thievery as we make a deal. We're not seeing a way of ugliness and worldliness as we find ourselves involved with the relationships of life. If we do that, then look what happens to us. We have an example that is being shown. A glory of the Lord is being seen. And the Lord said there in Ephesians 3, what? Glorify God throughout all ages. Glorify God where? In the church throughout all ages. World without end. Until the end of time, I want my members of the church to glorify God throughout all ages, world without end. Regardless of when that end comes and when that time comes, I want that to be a glorified thing, casting light upon the path of God, living life for the fullest about the light. And after all is said and done, because we walk in that way of light, we find ourselves following the path of God. Back there in the Psalms in 105, and note in this regard, at verse 30, when he says for you and me that we're to be people who have the light of God cast upon us, that the entrance of thy word giveth light. We find ourselves following the word of God. We find ourselves going that path that is filled with light. We know what's at the end of that path. We know where the end is going to be. We know everything along the way. We see the dangers up ahead and guard ourselves, as the wise man said there in Proverbs 27. We guard ourselves from the troubles and difficulties that come. Why? Because we know that those things are going to cause us trouble and difficulty. They're going to end our daily walk of life with no hope. We're going to find the opportunity to go that path of light that leads to heaven itself and the way of God. Along the way, we will have done what? We will praise God as we go. Along the way, we will glorify Him in the church throughout all ages, world without end. Notice He didn't say sometimes in the church and sometimes out. Most of the time out, never in the church. But in the church throughout all ages. Glorify God throughout the ages in the church. It is in our relationship one with another. And in our relationship one with another, we see needs that we all can attend and help. We talked this morning in class to some needs that people may have around us, our friends. We may find those needs to be more than we can meet. But as we talk about those matters, pass that word to those matters, we find others of the brethren who can pick up where we left off and go a little further. They may can go to the end of the need and meet the need fully and completely. Certainly there will be two or three that can do that. And because that is done, someone is helped and aided that would not have otherwise seen the love of God being shared in their lives by someone who loves them and loves the way of God and does not want something in return. Isn't it a blessing to have that kind of relationship with people? Isn't it wonderful to have that kind of relationship with God? Have a relationship in which He offers to us great hope of the soul. Well, as we talked about this morning, we talked about a great love for God and a love for His righteous way. Let's close out as we go to the book of Ephesians chapter 5, and which we note there, be ye followers of God as dear children. Notice we're to be followers of God as children who need to be taught, no matter the age that we are. When we begin to follow Him, we recognize Him as a child. We recognize the guidance of a father's love. He is the most dependable father there is. He's the most powerful father there is. He's the most rewarding father there is. He's the most helpful father there is. For there is nothing beyond our life but what we can know back to the passage in Psalm 33 and at 5. And note the following. The earth is full of the goodness of God. If you're subject to Jesus' invitation today, you want to come and obey Him, do it like the people on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, or as Cornelius did in Acts chapter 10. And in repentance and baptism into Christ, you'll find a new walk in life. You'll find a new life begun. Paul writes about that in Romans 6 and said when he was raised to walk in newness of life. You can begin that way. Someone may say, well, I began that way a long time ago. But in the times that have passed, I have passed off of that way. I've gotten out of that way. Well, love for God compels us to come back. Love for God compels us to follow His right way. And as we do that now, in Acts chapter 8, we find a man named Simon the sorcerer who found himself away from the Lord. A baptized believer who found himself now going another way. He told to Simon Peter the following words, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things you have spoken to me may come upon me. Here it was that he was doing away from God, but he could be restored. He could repent and pray, and the Lord would forgive him the thought and intent of his heart. You can do that today. As this song bids you to come, won't you come to Jesus and obey Him because you love Him? As we stand together, let us sing. Two funeral services this last week, one for a 52-year-old, one for a 92-year-old. And in life, those things come and they go in life, but it's a joy to have your thoughts and prayers as I travel about. There are those kind of occasions that have happened in my life, and those kind of occasions bring about a lot of joy and a lot of memories of good people that I've worked with back through the years. So I appreciate your prayers and thoughts about my travels, that times that have to go. I hope I don't have any travel like that this week. And I hope it doesn't rain and mess up our time of meeting little children and guiding them and having a good time with them on Wednesday night. Well, Tuesday night, remember our Bible study classes at 7 o'clock. And Wednesday night, 5:30, come by and check at the building. Like we noted, it doesn't always rain right here. It does rain sometimes up at other places where... But come by here at 5:30, and if it's raining along the way, just pass on by on the other side, please. Because that'll be the way that we do that thing this time. God bless y'all.
From the heavens, praise His name. Praise. of us in the highest, all his angels praise, proclaim, all his hosts together praise. Sun and moon and stars on high, praise him, O ye heaven of heavens, and ye floods above the sky. Let them praises give Jehovah, for his name alone is high, and his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted.
Our gracious Father in heaven, we thank thee so much for showing us thy love and the gift of thy Son and the resurrection from the dead that you gave, and the power and strength that resides in our hearts and lives can reside because of him. We thank you so much for this crowd of folks today, and may everyone express their great love for thee in a very powerful way of not words only, but indeed in truth. In Jesus' name, amen.